Good Thursday morning to you, my friends, who are on the Walking with Jesus journey with me. Today, we've come to that great part of Ephesians chapter 5, which speaks about healthy, God-honoring marriages. It's interesting that Paul was never married, as far as we know, yet he speaks powerfully to this issue under the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. It's a subject he wrote about several times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, and all of chapter 7, Paul addresses the issue of the holiness of the physical intimacy appetite which God has given to us, both males and females, and its fulfillment within a God-honoring marriage, and also the great dangers of sexual immorality or any dysfunctional sexual intimacy within marriage. This past weekend, I tried to help you see how powerfully Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 24 apply to the implosion of a healthy marriage and the rebuilding of that marriage by God's design. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, we find a wonderful blueprint of how a God-honoring marriage stays healthy and vibrant in Colossians 3, 1 to 19. Now, here in Ephesians 5, let's begin with verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There it is, the single most powerful verse in the Bible about marriage, in my humble opinion. By God's design, our lives, single or married, man or woman, function best, and we are most content in life when we live filled by the Holy Spirit of God, fully submitted to the authority of Jesus Christ, as he works his purposes for and in our lives through his Holy Spirit. Did you get that? If that's true, then a marriage works best and is most fulfilling, and both the husband and wife are most content when they both live in submission to each other out of reverence for Christ. Now, I know the word submit raises the hair on the back of our neck, doesn't it? We don't want to be any part of slavery. But remember the word bond servant, as found in Exodus 21, 5 and 6, is a person who willingly, joyfully puts themselves into servanthood to the one they love for life. Paul refers to himself that way as he serves Jesus. Paul is not saying be slaves to each other in marriage. Paul is saying serve each other with joy. And if you've ever seen a marriage like that, it's simply fun to watch it, isn't it? As both husband and wife really do find great joy in serving each other. But notice the second part of that verse 21, out of reverence for Christ. When a man and woman who are married to each other are fully convinced that God brought them to each other, that God has united them in marriage for his glory, then everything and anything that is part of that marriage experience is done as an expression of worship and praise to God, thanking him for the miracle of his bringing these two people together into this covenant of marriage. So it's really quite simple. Everything that which needs doing to make the marriage work, housework, yard work, employment, dishes, garbage, bills, house repairs, laundry, vacuuming or scrubbing the floors, bathroom cleaning, including scrubbing the toilets, anything is done out of reverence for Christ, who brought this dear man and woman together in their marriage. And whenever one sees that the other could use some help, any kind of help, then serve one another out of reverence for Christ. It's clear, right, friends? So no more his chores, her chores. It's our privilege to serve each other as we worship and thank Jesus for bringing us together in this marriage. Do I hear amen? Maybe a chorus of amens across the country. Now, with that in mind, Paul then writes, "Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so the wife should submit to her husband in everything." Verse 22 to 24. Now I can hear moans all across America. Start at the end of the phrase and let's work back to the beginning. How should the church of Jesus Christ submit to Jesus, who's the head of his church? Why is he the head of his church? How does he function as the head of his church? Listen. First, Jesus is the Savior of his church, right? So every person in his church has experienced Jesus dying on the cross to pay their sin debt so they could be rescued from and forgiven of their sin by God and adopted into the family of God. Thus, they become members of Jesus' global church, his ecclesia, people who are called out of darkness. The church is also called the body of Christ, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Jesus functions as the head of his church by leading his church. One of the major responsibilities of the leadership of every local church is seeking to discern and follow the desires of Jesus for that local church and partner with Jesus in becoming and accomplishing all Jesus wants uniquely for that local church, right? Jesus functions as the protector of his church and the lover of his church and the provider for the needs of his church. Jesus guides his church to accomplish all the things he wants to do through them locally and globally. Jesus brings to each local church God's children whom he wants as part of that local church body, both for their growth and for the benefit of that church. Now, can you see the parallels with the roles of husbands in a marriage and family? Now, what does Jesus expect of us, his church, as we love and serve and follow him? He expects loving faithfulness and loyalty only to him. Spiritual adultery happens when we start worshiping other gods or we pull away from him to abstain from worshiping any god other than ourselves. He expects that we will serve him out of our love response to his love and our gratitude for his sacrifice to pay our sin debt. So when Paul says, "Wives, lovingly serve your husbands as you serve Jesus," do you see what it means? When we as husbands lead and love our wives as Jesus leads and loves his church, then it's nice and clean and fairly simple, and it's God-honoring, isn't it? But when husbands do not lead and love as Jesus leads and loves, oh boy, then it gets really complicated, doesn't it? I wonder if when Paul was dictating this letter, the scribe's hand was tired, and maybe he asked for a break after chapter 5, verse 24. But I hear Paul saying, "No, no break, not till we speak to the husbands." So, write this down. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I wonder if maybe the scribe said, "Paul, sir, would you repeat that? I'm not sure I heard you correctly." And I can see Paul saying, "You heard me. Make sure you write it down accurately, word for word." Did we hear it, my friends? Especially my husband friends. Oh, we enjoy the first four words, don't we, men? But that last phrase, "just as Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her." I have a young friend up in Wisconsin who, when he and his girlfriend were in college, they discovered she had very early stage multiple sclerosis. They talked and prayed about their future. They knew what it may mean for him. Slow deterioration of his wife's physical capabilities. Perhaps eventually a wheelchair. Maybe even the loss of the ability to feed herself, bathe herself, clothe herself, anything. They contemplated ending the engagement, going their separate ways. But they were both convinced that God had brought them together, and they deeply loved each other. So they vowed themselves, first to God, that their marriage would daily be for his glory. Then they vowed themselves to each other. Then he vowed himself to serve his young wife out of reverence for Christ. And he did, faithfully, tenderly, lovingly, sacrificially, all the way to her death about 3 years ago. They were married many years. She experienced all the phases of MS that most people do, to the point of total loss of her bodily functions. And he served her daily, hourly, tenderly. He gave himself up for her as Jesus had given himself up for us. My brothers, fellow husbands, when we love our wives as Christ loved us, his church, and gave himself up for us, it's very easy for our wives to submit to serve their husbands with joy as unto the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. While Paul speaks first to the wives here, we the men take the lead in this, just as Jesus did. We didn't beg for God to send Jesus to die for our sin. It was God the Father who sent Jesus, his Son, while we were deep in our sin. God took the initiative to send Jesus. Jesus took the initiative to love and die. Husbands, we never need wait for our wives to serve us, and then we love and lead them. Oh, no, no. My brothers, we love and we lead them, and then they serve and partner with us as they see us following Jesus. Oh, did you catch that? as they see us following Jesus. That answers the question, where are we leading our families? We lead them to follow Jesus with us, my brothers, as we follow Jesus. Now, all the rest of what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, 21 to 33 builds on this. Read it slowly. Ask Jesus to help you understand it, my friends. We'll visit this topic again, maybe tomorrow, and certainly in a few weeks when we read 1 Peter together. Lord Jesus, please bless every marriage, every husband and every wife, every boyfriend, every girlfriend who are engaged, who are listening to my voice, and help us to understand and to own Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. In Jesus' name, amen.